Okay, nice.
Let's see. Okay, Jaguru, in the next Tuesday talk, can you talk about what Maharaj meant about taking possession of your body? Here it feels like that, and yet Maharaj would say, you are no more an individual. Why does it feel like a competition, Jai Sadguru? Maharaj speaks about this, taking possession of the body in two ways. One, the concepts. Because of long association with the body, you believe in these concepts, I am a body. And it's the wrong perception of I am a body that creates memory, creates thought, and all this sort of thing based on the perception that I am a body, which then again creates the concept of individuality. It's all conceptual. Maharaj also talks about the spiritual body being possessed by concepts. And this is the similar type thing where you are not body, you were not body, you are not going to remain the body. Body is not your identity. This presence, the entire world, including this body, this mind, this ego, this intellect, appears on spontaneous presence. Taking possession of the body is conceptual. It's concepts. These are concepts that are impressed, and then you go along and flow along with them. There is no individuality, as you said, and you say sometimes it feels like presence. See, presence, again, in the most simplest terms, if you're there, presence is kind of in the background. That's why they talk about the saints who, when they're the world is there, they're kind of at rest. When the world is not there, then they're very alive because of the fact that the spiritual body is concept free. When there are concepts within that, then there's a concept of I am somebody else trying to basically possess this body. The body is just a form. You're the formlessness. And at the highest understanding, the ultimate truth, as Maharaj says, there's no experience, no experiencer, no witness, no witnesser, because you're formless. This concept of form, this coming and going of form within the formlessness that you are, is not true because you are formless. You are never not formless, even though you may appear to be with form. It's only because of identification with a body form that you see a world. You're formless. No experience, no experiencer, no witness, no witnesser. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Except your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no Master. Nothing is there. Except your selfless self. The reality. You did not know yourself. The feeling of existence arose. I exist. Immediately, duality was birthed through concepts. I exist. The one to whom this I am or this I exist has appeared was there, or this I am or I exist could not appear to that one. Everything else that has appeared along with this I am is completely illusion. Because you're formless.
sir, you said now you don't, I mean, you exist all the time. Just, you know, if this, you know, just this knowingness or consciousness, if it just follows the pointer that goes to some kind of nothingness, that's very beautiful, no? Just
indeed. Through the body form, you can sense this subtle feeling of existence. And like Nisargadatta Maharaj says, you allow this, this I am, this sense of existence pulls you in. And as it pulls you in, it's like a black hole. It dissolves everything. All the layers of illusion. And the mantra that Sri Ramakant Maharaj has given does the exact same thing. It pulls you in and invites the attention of the invisible listener and dissolves the concepts that have appeared on your spontaneous presence. Question from Brandon. How do you ignore the concept or human experience? The concepts or human experience. You have to identify yourself in a real sense. Because you, that is the illusory something, cannot get rid of the concept of being an illusory something. It can't work. So what happens is you remain with yourself, the self. You know yourself in a real sense through meditation. Through meditation, you sit quietly and you just see what's there. Just I. I without anything. In the beginning, there may be a thought stream and images are appearing and dancing across the screen of mind. But this is actually seen. So you know, it's automatic that you're in the position of the witness of these thoughts and images. And then you go and look there. Okay, who sees these thoughts, these images? I'm here. And we've done the exercise before where you close your eyes. Automatically, you're still seeing. You're seeing nothing, but you're still seeing, and you have no physical eyes to see. So you can discard the body completely because you're still able to see without the physical eyes. So that means whether the physical body is here or not, you are. And you know this. Now you are going to go to the subtle body with the images that are dancing across the screen of mind. And yet, you're able to observe this. Now, the longer that you remain with your selfless self and observe this mind flow, then the attention is placed that whether these, because the flow of thoughts, as you don't engage with them, they cease or they'll slow down at the very least. There'll be a space where there's no beginning of one thought and end of another thought. There's just a nice space. And within that space, there's no thought. So you're there, whether the mind is there or not. You can erase the mind now. So you're not the body, you're not the mind. And yet you are still there. And you just continue to remain in that space where everything's coming and going, but you're not coming and going. Maharaj gives the example of being on a train, and as the train is passing through, you're sitting still, but the scenes are going around you on the outside. You're seeing everything, and it all is just coming by, but you're standing still. And in this, you are the center. Everything there is passing. And when you remain with your selfless self, you can open your eyes, and you still remain with yourself, the self. And now, you're, even if these scenes are passing, you're a constant. There's no longer this entertainment of thoughts, you know, because the thought flow, if you have identification with these thoughts are very important, then you jump in this thought river and get carried away. But now you're on the bank. You're allowing whatever is coming in the river to come and go. It has no effect on you because you're outside of it. You're on the bank. So you don't concentrate on, just like we talked about, you don't concentrate on detaching, Because if you sit there and you say, oh, okay, to be spiritual, I have to detach from this and detach from that. No. Maharaj has said, know yourself in a real sense. All concepts disappear. When you know yourself as that just I, just the sense of existence without mixing with anything, without any attributes, just there, and you remain. You're formless. You know you're formless. This formlessness is felt as a sense of presence while you are having the illusion of having a body form, and the experience, the illusion of experience is created due to the fact that your belief in being a body. Most also, we can talk about the dream. When you lay down at night, this physical body is laying down, eyes closed, and you're in your deep sleep. You have no sense of existence of any kind. You're just kind of, you exist, but there's no knowledge of existence. Then this sense of existence mixes and the consciousness explodes and you see a dream world. The sun, the moon, the stars, the rivers, cars, people, conversations, all within the dream world. And you're most likely a character within that dream world that has eyes that can see, a nose that can smell, mouth that can talk, and ears that can hear. And yet it's all coming from formlessness, because you know this. When you wake up, you say, oh, I had a very nice dream, or oh, I had not such a nice dream. So like Maharaj says, you're video shooting this world that you have created. And within this dream, you may have conversations. After you wake up, no matter what the conversations were, you absolutely know that it couldn't have been anything other than your own self that all these conversations, all these people, and all this world was arising from. And now, once you know yourself in the real sense, you will understand that I am a body is a long dream. And when you wake up, you will no longer be having this experience of this body-based illusion. Just as when you wake up from a dream in the morning, the entire dream world is gone. Thus, also, the consciousness that creates the waking world is the same that creates the dream world. And you are outside of all of it because both of these are appearing to you.
So, the existence, our I-amness, is the only thing existing during the swoon or sleep, is it, sir?
Well, again, there's really nothing. There's no such thing as sleeping and all of these kind of things. We see this because we're having this body-based experience of sleeping and these sort of things. So that's the concept of I am having a dream. No, there is a dreamlike state occurring within the consciousness that I am the observer of formlessly. But when I wake up from this formlessness, then I assume the role of being a body. And therefore, I look as a form. But when I'm in the dream, I may have a form, and I may be seeing other forms. But on waking up, I know that all of that was untrue because it was coming from the formlessness, the dream consciousness. The same consciousness then is containing the body-based illusion. The you, Rami, sleeping, is that same consciousness manifesting with a dream character, Rami, experiencing a dream with the same consciousness, but calling it dream or sleeping consciousness.
Yeah, you are saying even in the dream and in the waking, the contents are different, but the same fundamental ignorance of oneself or wrong identification is there. Because of that, both are seems appearing. That is clear. But what happens during the sleep? Deep sleep.
There's no knowing of your own self. There's no knowing of anything. you are the constant, and the deep sleep is just a state that has appeared on that cannot have states or cannot appear, because deep sleep, you could say, has attributes. It's the absence of attributes, but the absence of attributes are known going into the dream state or when you so-called wake up. But there is no difference. The you that you are is dreaming that we're sitting here right now having all of this conversation about your own self. And just as in the dream, when you wake up, you absolutely knew. No. All of this was arising from my own self. And this is the same. All of this conversation, all of these people, all of the worldly experience is arising from your own self. You are that to which all this appears, and simply because of one simple thing, the first illusion, I exist, I am. This appearance of I am has created this concept of birth and world. This disappearance of I am or I exist will erase this illusory experience of world and body. And none of that has ever happened, nor is it ever true. And right now, all the unborn children are trying to figure out how they're unborn.
Okay. Concept is trying to understand that how concept means personality.
Exactly.
I mean, okay.
The illusory entity thinking it exists want to continue forever. And that's why Maharaj uses the example of the ants. The formless presence takes the form of an ant. And when the water is poured, runs. Because the first time this formlessness has known itself that it exists is in the form of an ant. And that little ant body needs to be protected. Otherwise, I will no longer know myself, which means I die. And yet, that to whom this knowingness has appeared is not born, nor does it die. And you are able to use this body that you've been given. You have use of it to know yourself in a real sense. Oh, so that I am that. The ultimate truth. And now, when we say bhakti and devotion, of course, if you believe yourself to be with form, you absolutely need to worship form. This is because otherwise it's like kind of blasphemous to say that I am that higher power. No, the I that believes it's the higher power needs to be removed so that there can be the higher power. There is only God. There's nothing other than God. There's never been anything other than God, ever. And God is, again, a body-based concept or a label given to that you are, that presence. Except your selfless self. There is no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no Master. All these concepts came along with the body. All the relations came along with the body. All of the body knowledge came along with the body. Everything you believe you've acquired, all the books you've read, all the satsangs you've attended, all the information you've acquired came along with the body, which you are not. So you take all those things that you've acquired using this body and discard them, because you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. Body is not your identity. Now, knowing this, enjoy. There's no tension. There's no fear. There's no sadness or trouble of any kind. There's no enemies. There's nothing. So now, this body is here. You use it simply as an instrument. The same as you put on a shirt, you put on this body. You go about. You try to take care of this body, okay, good. Need to go to see a doctor, okay, that's fine. Need a job to feed the body, because without food, you can't have this body-based experience because your body will not be available. Like Maharaj says, you have to feed and water it, just like a plant. You know? But knowing that I am unborn, that was never born cannot die. The concept of death is the disappearance of I am. But the concept of birth was the appearance of I am. So both are concepts. And they have appeared to you without attributes, without concepts, without knowledge, prior to beingness. Most important now, you put this into practice. You know, it was asked about how do I discard the body. You know yourself in a real sense, then you put this into practice. The next time you're in traffic, you know that there is no traffic. You remain with yourself as self. Initially, you may observe the mind flow of, oh, I hate being stuck in traffic. Well, who's this I who hates being stuck in traffic? And where is this traffic? Remain with myself as self. Your boss calls you and says, hey, I need to see you at 2 o'clock today. Previously, you may have bothered yourself with, uh-oh, what's going to happen? Now you, without thought, get up, go at 2 o'clock, see what the boss needs. If you are doing something that needs correcting, you correect it. If you're doing something that is being praised, okay, that's good too. But deeply you know, you're formless. You don't have to tell people you're formless because all the bodies that you see are your own self. So keep that to yourself and remain with yourself.
I get this, doctor. If we have enough comfort in the sense like financial security in terms of financially, and I think do we really seek spirituality? I see this problem of boss problem, wife problem, security problem. This is fundamental, to secure the body and having some comforts after having this, along with security. If these two are there, do we seek spirituality at all?
I mean, unless you are prone to discover and discovery, but see, entire world is projected on your spontaneous presence, and there are ups and downs. That's why it's nice to be in a group and talk about ups and downs. Not everybody. We may look at a magazine and say this person has a perfect life with all the money and all the this and all the that, but this is outside of ourselves. It's something that has appeared, and for us, whenever there is some challenge, all human beings in the human experience, as Maharaj says, the pain and pleasure principle. If you're somebody, you cannot get away from the pain and pleasure principle. Because pleasure, you say, oh, this is very nice. I like that to continue. Or I'd like to experience this again. Therefore, the concept of desire, you allow this mind to sort of say, well, this is very nice. And we talked about before, I buy this house. Oh, this house is very nice. But then I see another house. Oh my God, I could have gotten the same house with more bedrooms for the same money. I'm depressed now. Or I buy a car. And for a time, I say, I'm not going to put any trash in this car or do anything like this. And within a month or two, I'm eating McDonald's and leaving the wrappers in the back seat. This is because the mind is an endless source of desire when there's a you. If there's a you, then you will desire. And you will have, because you're a form, you will see all this form that I can acquire. When you're formless, this won't make sense. There is no need to acquire or because you're formless. The space in the room can never acquire the objects that are within the room. Although, if the space in the room clicked with this body and saw that there were objects to acquire, that space, being formless, would begin to desire objects because now there's the appearance of an object that wants other objects. So you remain with your selfless self. And mind stops. See, when you're formless, there's no thought. There's no mind. You're not identifying. Even if thought is there, it doesn't make sense. We talked about the black and white TV and the color TV. But if there's a you there, then the pain and pleasure principle is there. And the more you seek after pleasure, the more you will find pain. And the more you run away from pain, the more pain you'll have. So you'll be in a constant up and down. And the more pain you're in, the more you'll desire pleasure to try and remove the pain. But if you stand still in the stillness that you are, and you don't run after this thing or that thing. And like we talked about, the mind, if you're having a chariot and the mind are the horses, and you say, whoa. Because if you don't say, whoa, and the horses are just allowed to go as fast as they want, the wheels on the chariot fall off, you get yanked out of your little chair, and you're being dragged along behind the horses, bumping and scraping. And once this happens, there is not so easy to rein this in because you are lost in the illusion. As Maharaj says, you've fallen into the illusory ditch.
Agree. I mean, when the suffering is evident, then that generally gives the idea of, to seek, is there a way? Go beyond the suffering. Then comes this, all this knowledge of wrong identification and going beyond this wrong identification. But, generally, the things go normally. We don't understand that, experiencing a food with some kind of, I'm experiencing the food. That is also a suffering. Because in the way, there is a belief that I am the body. By experiencing this food, I am getting the happiness. Again, it gives, another idea, I need this food in the next time. So, again, there will be effort to get that food next time, or there is a waiting till to get that food next time. And in that process, time is being created. Yeah, this is all suffering. But this knowledge...
Not suffering, though. Remember, suffering is mind created. Pain, you could say, because pain, somebody pinches you. Oh, I feel pain. I'm not continuously feeling it. Mind, suffering is absolutely mind created. If I'm going along all day long saying, oh my God, this thing's happening and that thing's happening and this thing, like Maharaj says, I'm carrying the day. No. There's no suffering. There's a spontaneous action in the moment. And then a mind that wants to sort of put that moment under the microscope and say, I don't like that. Or I like this very much. But it's just spontaneous action. Pick it up, drink, put it down. That's it. All spontaneous action. Because there's no actor. The actor is created afterwards with the concept of doership, of I did this thing. It was really enjoyable. I would like to do this thing again. Or I did this thing. I really didn't like that. I hope that never happens again. And I put it in memory so that any experiences that even remotely look like that, I run away from. But see, spontaneous action in the moment, there's no you there. You're not taking a position. Your position is formless. So just like we had talked about yesterday, I see you. and you make a remark that I'm not so happy about, and I'm like, huh, that was kind of rude of you. And the next day I see you, if I know myself in a real sense, I see just Rami. Hey, Rami, how's happening? But if I'm caught up, I'm meditating on Rami. Oh, Rami, he said this bad thing. Next time I see him, I'll give him a piece of my mind. Then that is creating the suffering. What I meditate on will grow naturally. If I sit there and I concentrate, and Maharaj has said this. Maharaj says, you are Brahman. And you say, oh, how can I be Brahman? No. And yet, if Maharaj says, you're an ass, you'd be like, man, I can't believe Maharaj just told me I'm an ass. What a god, what a terrible master this master is. Because you accept. And the spirit, as Maharaj says, it's very, very sensitive. What you impress, it reflects. So if I'm impressing my selfless self, I am formless. I'm in the atmosphere of spirituality. Somebody comes into my existence, I know that behind the eyes and ears of that form is my own selfless self. That selfless self in that form may not know it, and I don't need to tell it, because I know myself. And because I know myself, I know all is that self. My presence is in every being, so I remain with that presence. That's why we had talked about the most high worship, if you're thinking about somebody who's left the body, is not to go and sit there and say, oh, this poor person, they left their body, I'm so sad. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Instead, you remain with the selfless self, remain with that sense of presence, because that presence was in the form of the loved one that is no longer with you in form. That presence is animating and doing everything. So you remain with your selfless self, and there is no separation. Therefore, there's nothing to mourn, because the same presence, by sitting here and remaining with your selfless self, you absolutely are as close to that loved one, closer than when they were within the body form and in your body relation experience. Because as Maharaj says, remove the body, and where's the separation? How can you stop things from triggering the past and memory? Again, you know yourself in a real sense. As you begin to know yourself in a real sense, the mind came along with the body. You're formless and you're prior to taking possession of this body. So all memories are from the perspective of being a body. So they're all wrong memories. Everything you've ever experienced, good or bad, is a memory based on the concept that you're a body, which you are not. And Maharaj says, good thoughts come, bad thoughts come. You don't engage. Let them go, come and go as they please. You remain with your selfless self. But remember, again, we talked about the space in the room. All everything clicks with this dead body, because remove the presence out of all the people here and they're all dead bodies, lumps of flesh, blood, and bones. When presence is there, then you have what you call a person and a body-based existence, a body-based experience. You can acquire things for the body. You can acquire knowledge for the body, because you believe yourself to be a body in a world, but you're formless. This is not true. The space in the room clicks with this body and suddenly looks around for the first time and says, wow, there's a lot of things. And the more, as Maharaj says, the longer the association with the body, because of long association with the body, you truly believe you're a body and that you're having experiences. And then you store these experiences in mind and you say, these are my experiences. You could do the same in dream. And this is why in dream, they talk about the fact that if you went and killed all these cows, which in India, the cow is a sacred animal. And if you kill all these cows in your dream, and then you wake up, you didn't kill any cows in your dream. This is realized the moment you wake from your dream. You're not going to get down on the floor and say, oh, God, please forgive me for killing all these cows. No, because it's a dream. And the same thing, if this space in the room clicked with this body and began having experiences, they're not true. There's no experience, no experiencer, no witness, no witnesser, because you are formless. All form is occurring within the formlessness that you are. That you are has been labeled God, Brahman, Paramatman, Master. These labels are also within the form-based existence. You're prior to the first word. You had to click with a body and use this mouth to say a word. The word formed formlessly and then created form by coming out through the body base and saying, I.
So the first word is I.
Well, I don't know the first word. The first word might be mama. I don't know, but in relation, the first understanding is I. Yeah. I exist. Because the I am is I exist, I am without words. You know, the sense of presence, this feeling, just I, there's no words there. So you know that that's kind of the doorway to the truth. Because the just I feeling is wordless, and you're prior to words. On the other side of this just I feeling is the world with the mind, ego, intellect, and the body.
Yes, sir. When this, you know, I am is identified with the world contents, that's where drama is getting started. And now you are saying that has to go, that has to be eliminated.
Yes. Well, I am. See, we say I am, or I exist, or presence, or whatever you want to call it, or God, or whatever. But that's a word. And you're prior to the first word. The first word is, I exist. But you're the sense of existence prior to speaking and knowing, I exist. And that's why, I think it's Nisargadatta Maharaj who says, remain with the I am. And I'm not saying, sitting there saying, I am, I am, I am. No, it's the sense I am, without words. The feeling of existence. Maharaj gives the example when you wake up in the morning. You're in that kind of fuzzy feeling of not really knowing yourself. And for a split second, or a little bit time, there's just I. And then, of course, you see yourself, and you start to see the world, and you start to go into your daily activity and all this sort of stuff. But when you wake up, it's just I. Just I without anything.
And maybe they didn't let the champion like carry on. He got booted.
When I woke up this morning, I had this just, you know, I just was very clear that everything is mind. You know, everything I'm looking at, thinking, whatever, just the room, getting up in the morning, it's all mind. And then, you know, later I was listening to Siddhar Meshwar Maharaj in his lectures with Emerald Lion Tree, where he says in lesson 54 that he says, remember, the mind alone is responsible for the existence of the world. I don't know, it just it's just like, to me, this whole thing is like everything, like what we're doing now, this room, the work, everything is like, it's all mind. And I'm on the other side of that, outside of that. Just, and what that is, you know, you can call it formlessness or whatever. But it's just, you know, like totally outside of that. It's all mind. And basically we're not that, we're not the mind. And, you know, body and mind, of course, you know, it all kind of like all fits together. You know, all the, and I guess you could probably, you know, like summarize it with all four bodies is basically, you know, like, we're just totally out of that on the other side of it, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you lay down at night, the sense of existence is there, and consciousness does what it does. It creates. And just like you said, there is all of this world and all of these things that are around, but it's all within the consciousness. It's all creating. And this consciousness has appeared to you through the concept, I exist. When you lay down at night, sense of existence mix, boom. And the same here. Sense of existence appears to that did not know I exist. And immediately, it's projected. And you could say the same with space in the room, clicks with this body, and when the eyes open, space is automatically created and filled with objects and filled with illusion. And yet it's all within the space. And once you know yourself in a real sense, that's it. You just remain. And in the beginning, maybe, you know, like we said, turn up the heat. You have to mantra, remain with yourself with self. Okay, something's disturbing. Okay, you feel that. Quickly, remain back with yourself with self. Invite the attention of the invisible listener. Know that you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body.
John, then we won't create more memories.
Correct. Yes.
And all the memories that we have, as you say, were based on believing we were bodies.
Correct.
That's kind of neat.
Yes. And the mind stops because these images that are projected on the screen are not for you. So just like if you ignore, you know, you have a friend who likes to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and you ignore this friend, they'll slow down their talking and eventually they'll stop. It's the same with this mind flow. This mind flow, if you're not paying attention and you're not engaging with the thoughts and they're just coming and going. And like Maharaj says, good thoughts or bad thoughts? Okay, a good thought comes. I'm thirsty. Let me get a drink of water. But, oh, I did such a terrible job. I'm really worried. No, I'm not a doer. I'm formless. So I don't need to take this thought. Maharaj talks about the delicious dishes. You have a bunch of dishes on a table and you walk. You can say, oh, I like this one. No, I don't think I'll care for that one. Yes, I like this one. Yes, I like this one. But you have to take it. You have to taste it and say, oh, okay. Okay, good. This is okay. Nice. Okay. And Maharaj has laid out all the everything. Everything that's been spoken about. You are not body. You are not body. You're not going to remain the body. When I have a question, I have to pose myself as a body. And I can't ask a question about formlessness. It has to be a question about the illusion. Like, how am I going to be when I die? Wait a minute. I've just created a form. And the unborn child is asking then, what happens when this that is not born dies? Well, it cannot. And all the answer to every question is the questioner. Maharaj says this. Because if I ask a question, I'm forming a question based on a form using memory and experience that this is what I know, this is what I've done, this is what I think. But all of everything, the thinking came along with the body, came along with the mind, and you're not body. The questions of, you know, I'm not getting this spirituality thing. I need to, sometimes I feel it, sometimes I don't. But the feeling, this is not, because you're formless. So this is just a mind-based concept of, I'm not feeling myself, but that's a mind-based concept. And as Maharaj says, the mind is playing tricks on you. When you say, sometimes I feel very peaceful and other times I feel very disturbed, well, you're formless. So all of the form-based illusion is coming and going. You're never, I think Maharaj, Nisargadatta Maharaj talks about your mind. You can't stop your mind. Your mind is activity, but you can remain with your own selfless self, and this mind can be there or not. You are. And it has to be impressive.
That's a very helpful image to think of the horses running away with you. With, yes, when you let your mind go go berserk.
Yes, yes.
Reminding me of the movie Ben-Hur.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
But you are master of this mind. This mind, your power. Like Rami was talking about suffering. Your power, your energy is feeding this mind flow with your attention and your involvement.
Right.
Without that, you know, the I think Nisargadatta Maharaj uses the example of there's no customers for thought, and you have the thought factory, and this thought factory is producing thoughts 10,000 a day. It's just really hustling. But then there's no customers for thought, so it starts to slow down a little bit. Next thing you know, they're laying off some of the employees. Next thing you know, they have to lay off some of the management. Next thing you know, they're closing the factory because there are no customers for thought.
The customer is identification with them.
Exactly. Your involvement. You're either wanting to push them away or grab them, because this thought is so important. If I don't think this thought, something terrible might happen.
John, what is it that you think motivates us to give so much power to the mind? Because, you know, what's the motivation there? Why is it that the mind is, you know, such a seductive, you know, thing? Because I think the number one addiction in the world is the addiction to thinking. And so what I'm wondering is, what is it that drives that? You know, what do we think? Is it fear? Is it, you know, fear or desire, maybe? Those are the two things that the Buddha would probably say. But I just wonder about that because, you know, obviously there's something in it or you wouldn't do it.
Well, the thought from identification with being a body form, and we've talked about this before. If I walk out my door, I have no idea what's going to happen, which produces a fear. Therefore, my mind might say, when you go outside, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Or that's going to happen. And I trust that because I don't want to be without anything. I fear the loss of my own self. And that's why in spirituality, as this mind is, you're kind of dissolving all the illusory layers, that is the last thought that could trouble you. And that thought is, well, if I'm formless and none of this happened and it's all illusion, then it didn't matter. My life didn't matter. It meant nothing. But see, this is the last grasp that the ego tries to hold on to. Because then you say, no, it cannot be. I cannot believe that I meant nothing. But see, the world's illusion. It never was. The identification with the object that was labeled John or Kathleen went through different things, and you observe this, but you're formless. You've gone through nothing. It's just as a dream character, the same.
I think that's what drives the fear of death, because you don't know what's going to happen. So, and you're worried about, you know, what could happen. And so therefore there's all these questions about it.
Well, the fear of death is created by the concept of birth.
Yeah.
That's the huge one, because if you believe you were born, then you believe you can die. And that's why, just like, again, this is a perfect example of these ants that Maharaj uses. The formlessness, knowing itself in form for the first time in the form of an ant, I exist. I exist as this ant. I'm walking and I'm doing these little ant things. Then someone pours water. Uh-oh. This water will kill me. I've seen this. I've experienced this in others. I've watched and observed that ants, when they go into water, they cease to exist. But see, that's because I have the wrong concept that I exist only with a body. There was existence, and now there's the knowing of existence through the body form that I am not, but I appear to be. So because I've been born, and now the water comes, the presence in that ant runs away and tries to protect itself, thinking that if this body form is gone, I do not exist any longer. And that's why, remaining with your selfless self, it will click, oh, so that I am that. The sense of existence has appeared. And when the sense of existence is no longer there, that to whom the sense of existence has appeared and disappeared is there. There will be no knowing of existence, because the only way you knew of existence was when you clicked with the body in the illusory world and began having the experiences of I exist and there's a world.
Yeah, it's because we bought into the appearance as being real.
And because part of this is mom and dad saying, see the presence in the body, here it is. You don't know yourself. And Nisargadatta Maharaj says, for the first couple of years, you're walking around, bumping into walls and all this sort of stuff. You don't have this conscious, this self-consciousness of I am this something. Until then there's a recognition of there, that's mom, this is me. Therefore, I am separate from mom. There is something separate from myself.
Yeah.
And then mom reinforces this concept with a name and a label.
Right.
You're John and I'm mom.
Yeah, you've been hypnotized.
And John, that I am, I this label on this body is called John. So the formless presence believes I am this body named John. And mom is a separate something. Mom then says, good job, John. Bad job, John. So this is the sense of doership through memory being created. I do good things. I do bad things. But I'm formless presence. That's why Maharaj says, we are refreshing your memories. We're not doing anything at all other than just refreshing your memories. You are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. All the relations that came along with the body are illusion because you're not a body. And all of this spiritual knowledge, all of this knowledge that is not practical, meaning you're not putting it into action in this exact moment. I know myself. This is just here, a scene. All of this body-based knowledge is absolutely, completely, totally useless because you are not a body. Now, while you're in the body experience, you don't need body-based knowledge other than in the moment. And the things that the body's gone through, it's going to do whatever it does. The destiny, so to speak, of the body, it's going to go through what it does. But you're formless. None of these things are happening to you. Therefore, you're not taking the touch of the world. It's not impressing. It's not a pressure. And definitely, you're not pressurized into being a body because you're remaining with yourself, the self, in the formlessness that you are, inviting the attention of the invisible listener, and constant devotion. Yes, master. Yes, master. Devotion after liberation. Very important. Constant devotion. Presence, using this body form to worship presence. And we talked about before, even the, you know, in the religion, you know, Jesus told Nicodemus, you have to be reborn in the spirit. Because Nicodemus is like, wait a minute, you're telling me I have to be reborn, go back in my mother? No, you're born of the spirit. You're discarding this body and you're knowing yourself in a real sense. Very simple.
So it's not so much that you're hypnotizing yourself, you're dehypnotizing yourself, I guess.
You're just erasing the illusory layers, all these illusory layers, just as if you were inside of a dream. When you lay down tonight and the dream world is appearing, and you know, oh, I'm just dreaming. And so maybe you don't like, you know, you're not good at bowling, but here you are bowling, and it's a dream. It really doesn't matter. So you're going to bowl in a very light way because you may not even like bowling, but here you are in your dream and you're bowling and it's a dream and you know it's a dream. So you take it lightly. Whether who wins or who loses doesn't make a difference. Somebody says, hey, you want to go out afterwards and go to this park and do this? Okay, because it doesn't make a difference because you know you're dreaming. Well, when you know yourself in a real sense, the entire world is projected on your spontaneous presence. It's the same. You're not taking the touch. Whether you win or lose doesn't really matter because there's no winning and losing. Whatever you're doing, you do your job, you do your duties, do what's right in front of you, and the results, you just leave them. You know, all of everything is appearing in your spontaneous presence. Do the best you can, and that's it, in the moment. Because it's not happening. And you're not happening. You're not there. You're not a doer. There's no deed.
No, actually, sir, this pain principle, you know, in the waking state, you know, somehow it makes that this waking world is more real. Actually, if that pain principle, this biological conditioning also seen clearly, like as imaginary as a normal thought, then the reality of this waking state is shaken. It's gone.
Yeah, once you know yourself in a real sense, the reality of the waking state disappears because the waking state is seen the same as the consciousness that creates the dream world creates the waking world. They're the same. So there's no, and you can have pain principle in a dream. Maybe you dream some guy in a mask is chasing you down the hall in a chain with a chainsaw. You say, oh my God, I'm having a night terror or whatever. But if you know yourself within the dream that you are dreaming, you can turn around and maybe, you know, Mr. Chainsaw Man, come on. There's not going to be this sense of fear. What's going to happen? Okay, in my dream, I'm going to get hit with the chainsaw. Or maybe I don't. Maybe he pulls his face off and says, ha ha, just kidding. Who knows?
Darth Vader.
Yeah, you know, because it's just a dream. It's just, you don't take the touch of things. You just talking don't.
Talking about masks, the other day I went to the grocery and I was leaving with my mask on and I waved to a friend. He didn't recognize me. And I told him who I was. He says, God, I thought I was, you look like the mummy.
Indeed. You have a new identity.
And see, that's what, even though you know yourself in a real sense, you wear a mask when you go to the store because A, it's required. You have this body. You wear the mask. You want to take good care of the body. You don't want to get a disease that's going to take your body-based experience away. And yet, you know that if the body, if you were to find yourself in the hospital and the doctor says, well, you know, you're not going to make it till tomorrow, you just remain with your selfless self. Just die. Because there's no experience of dying. And you can do that right now in anything. With mantra, remaining with your selfless self and going through your daily activities, there will be no experience of doing anything. And that was very much impressed with the food poisoning. Having food poisoning and going to the India hospital and all this sort of stuff without any experience of having that done. Memory only in that, like in a book, you could say, okay, this happened, that happened, this happened. But there's no like emotional involvement, nor was there at the time. There was no, uh-oh, I am in trouble, or, oh, what's happening, or I am scared. Because remaining with mantra, mind was kept busy with mantra, go through whatever's happening without an experience or experience being created.
Well, it's 8:19.
Oh, good. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.